Really what I did, and the most powerful thing I think anyone can do, is not just to make an accusation or get a little bit of proof, which can be hushed up and denied, but I took what I had to everyone before PTAC was ever raided, before it ever became public. I took it all the way up to the top of the FBI. I took it everywhere. And the reality of the situation is proven by the response I got there. More telling than the actual deed itself. Their response to that is really what indicts them all.
What was their response?
Shut up and go away or you will be killed. Basically.
Now, you got that response from all different levels in government.
I got that response from J.P. Morgan. I got that response from PTAC. I got that warning from people within the FBI, mostly the FBI.
American media is a business, and it has a mission, not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with the capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the Internet for Wednesday, July 27th, 2005. And that's right, Sim, you guessed it. It's hump day, middle of the week. He hates it when I do that, but that's okay because this is my show and this is Newsreel. Your daily report is the war counterculture defeats the evil of core political tyranny, and we are winning this war. Don't you forget that. This is Rant Media, and we are taking a stand for free speech today. And just by listening, you are too. You can read all the news stories along with me by going to my live journal. You can get to my live journal currently by going to sean_kennedy.livejournal.com. But soon that will be changing, because eventually we're going to be bringing everything over to the Rant website so that we can start getting the community to be talking to each other and get everyone to push under one big rocket. That's the idea here. This is a free radio broadcast that can be heard on Rant Radio, Wild Bunch Radio, WNY Media Network, KJAG Radio, Radio306.com, OspreyRadio.info, and Extreme Radio Tampa. And you yourself are free to distribute this broadcast any way you see fit. And one of the best ways, incidentally, Sim and I were talking about this, that's why I've been pushing it, is to make sure that you try to get any webcasters or anyone who's running an online radio station right now to carry the newsreel show, because hey, it's a pretty good show. Everybody likes it here. So if you get a chance, maybe you should see if you could get them to email Sim at info@rantradio.com, and we'll see if we can get that show over on their station. Everything would be very, very cool. Let's get straight into some feedback. Dear Sean, while I was surprised to hear that the ACLU, that's the American Civil Liberties Union, did in fact publicly state that they do not support the strict constructionist view on the right to keep and bear arms, this does not deter me from supporting the ACLU itself. My interpretation of the Second Amendment aside, it is important that you remember that there is a whole shitload of amendments. Gun control is not the primary issue for the ACLU. Instead, the union is more concerned with having a nonprofit agency of pro bono lawyers present at major constitutional cases, so that lawyers who are not constitutional lawyers can be given support in defending their charges. The ACLU was a huge support for the right of a person to have an attorney who could adequately defend them. For a case history, check out the book Gideon's Trumpet by Anthony Lewis. Here's a good recommendation for you. Although the ACLU does not necessarily support the common interpretation of the right to bear arms, this does not mean that they attack the right. Instead, the ACLU gives its stance and moves on to issues that it finds more pertinent and that they are more capable of handling. If it weren't for the ACLU, it can be argued that the EFF and EPIC would not nearly have the power that they do today. And that was sent in by Alien Binary, who's one of our more Well, he's a pretty eloquent flying monkey when it comes to the land of flying monkeys. So, you know, I don't, being a Canadian, I don't have to deal with the American Civil Liberties Union all that much. But, you know, I had some, you know, I brought them up on the show before. Some people said that they were a bad organization. Now it seems that Alien Binary has provided a counterpoint. Moving right along, dear Sean, I once watched your program like 2 years ago, and I found it very interesting. Recently, I found it again, and once again, I find most of the things you're saying very reasonable. Especially things about cops, that they really want to make a difference and everyone should comply with whatever they're being asked to do by a cop. But apart from this, I think the style of your program is very practical, and that's why I like it so much. Keep it going, man. P.S. Sorry for my not-that-good language skills, as I am Polish. And that is from Adam. Well, don't worry about that, Adam, because you know what? We're not really worried here. That's one thing about language. I guess there's a lot of people giving feedback to Sim about the audio portion of the Bloodstained Rabbit, you know? He comes to me and he says, hey, Sean, you know the audio CD? You mean the one I read out, the one that we gave away for free with the book when we sold the book? Yeah, that one, yeah. There's people complaining about it. I said, really? What are they saying? They're saying, well, you stumble over your words and you mumble and you miss words and stuff like that in the book. And I guess to answer that question real quick before we go on any further, I guess I sort of figured when I was reading the story that the story was more important than, you know, actually following along with the punctuation and all that absolutely perfectly. So sometimes I took a little bit of license with that, but being as I wrote the damn thing, I didn't think that'd be too much of a problem. If that's upset anyone, you should be aware that the free CD, which comes with my book when you buy it, that took me, you know, about 9 hours to make, you know, there may be some mumbling on the CD or something like that. There is reason to say that, you know, perhaps you may not like the audio CD, but that's why it's a book. And I just kind of threw that out there as for giggles, you know, to go along with the CD. So anyone who's bought the book and doesn't like the audio CD, very sorry, you can bet that I won't do that again. So no more audio CDs, because apparently I'm not doing a very good job on them. So that's okay, though, because it's generally implied to be for the book. Now, moving right along. Hi, Sean. A few things that don't quite make sense about the London bombings to me are they bought return tickets to the trains. Now, this is true. This is more about that 7 cent in London bombing thing, and that's really showing up in the news now. We got that Brazilian guy who stayed over 3 years past his visa, and he winds getting up geeked in the street. This is the company line. That's what they're saying. I don't know if that's really true or not. It's hard to determine now what's true and what's false. But anyway, another thing, so this is what somebody sent in. They said that they bought tickets, return tickets for the trains. I covered that. They bought parking tickets for their cars, another weird thing to do. One of the men's newly married wives just had a child. Another one's wife was expecting his first child. The explosives used on the second waves of the bombings was from the same batch of explosives made in the bathtub in Leeds. This broke a short while and thus did not cause the expected result for them. Anyone with expected expertise in this field should have known this, as also only one batch. So it's all comes from the same batch, which is kind of odd. So that, at the very least, means that there's more than just these four guys involved. There are reports of men running away from the scene. Very interesting. Although this isn't in any way conclusive, to me, these throw up a question. If there were professional and or suicide bombers, these small facts give me some doubt. All the best, Druid Y. Simmeru. Now, Druid's over there currently, and he's one of the guys who sent Sim some non-gelatin Skittles, which, you know, he's almost eaten all of his non-gelatin Skittles. So any of you UK wogs out there want to do something nice for Sim and not just for me, because everybody does nice stuff for me. Anyone who's doing nice stuff for Sim, make sure you send him some non-gelatin Skittles, because he's a scary vegan, and scary vegans do not eat gelatin. That's the rules. Moving right along. Dear Sean, I'll try to answer the question you posed about Arab/Muslims and the desecration of bodies. Bear in mind that I'm no expert in Islam or Arab culture. Well, you know, who really is? I don't think Islam has a monopoly on this kind of thing. Well, apparently not. I ran it in the news the other day where, you know, there's quite often a lot of racism that it seems to be tied very closely with education. But anyway, historically, we'll look at what happened to Mussolini's body in Milan and the current treatment of the different tribal corpses in Africa. Again, this is all education issues. Although this doesn't get much media coverage. No, this is true. Tribal corpses in Africa are eaten. There are numerous other examples, all caused by hate, whether rational or irrational. The present desecrations in the Middle East are so savage because of a mix of religiously endorsed hatred. Ooh, that's some scary shit. That's what the Nazis had. The Nazis had religiously endorsed hatred. Westerners are considered by fundamentalists to be soulless infidels who are going to hell anyway and are little more than dogs and outright hatred for the occupying power, whether military or civilian, for the suffering and disruption they have caused. Well, it could be argued that, yeah, I mean, they might have a point there. The main perpetrators of these desecrations are Sunnis, who are the ruling minority and are very pissed off with losing their advantage. So the Sunnis are all upset with that. On the whole, Islam is a pretty hardcore religion. By this, I mean, whilst Christianity is supposed to teach you to turn the other cheek, Islam teaches you to hit them back, this time only harder. At least, that's how it was explained to me by a Muslim. Remember that currently the largest amount of people dying in Iraq are Muslims being killed in sectarian attacks between the Shias and the Sunnis. I believe a civil war is inevitable and arguably has already started. The coalition forces are in a damned if you do and damned if you don't situation. Whenever they leave, things will escalate into full-scale civil war. I hope I'm wrong. I hope I answered your question, and thanks for the great show, The Sad Mafioso in the UK. Well, you know, I'm hoping that it doesn't, you know, escalate into war, but it seems to me that with all these Americans getting killed over there, and all this oil going on over there, they can't pull out because they need to get the oil. That's the whole concept here. They need to get the oil, and they need to get it out into the world and stuff like that. So, unless they can hold on to the oil or find an alternate news source, it doesn't think like we're going to be leaving Iraq anytime soon. That's why they're building super bases for extended occupation. If you get a chance, make sure you check out, I think it's a Nightline show on private military corporations. I downloaded and checked out that the other day. Sim got that for me. Really, really cool. And it shows you just how crazy it's getting over there and how it's actually just turning into, really, Iraq is going to become the first shadow-run country. It's a private country now. They're going to keep... Why do they want to let any government in there? Why not just let the corporations take Iraq? Why not? Why not just get all the Muslims and everybody killing each other, keep it in a constant state of war so the government is completely destabilized, and then we'll just have corporations running private security to rape the country of all of its resources? Sounds like a pretty good idea to me. Now, from, you know, a core political soulless scumfuck's point of view, meaning, you know, I mean, I usually look at these news stories and I think, okay, now, if I was the Prince of Darkness, what would I do in this situation? And realistically, when I look at Iraq and I think of what is the, you know, the Prince of Darkness answer for the scenario that we got going on over there, I wind up thinking to myself that, you know, what they're probably going to do is destabilize the government to such a point that they'll never ever be able to stabilize, and they'll just rape the country for resources until they're sick of it, and then they'll just move on. Because, you know, I don't think anybody really cares about what the people in Iraq think. So, I mean, I think it's sad, I think it's sick and weird, and I think no one's really paying much thought to maybe 50 years from now when we're trying to patch up our relationship with these Middle Eastern countries, because as it sits right now, Fortress America is pissing everybody off. Dear Sean, there's another one about this Middle Eastern thing. You ask why Middle Eastern people celebrate the killing of American soldiers so much. Now, make no mistake, I know next to nothing about Middle Eastern countries, and all I can offer to you is my insight into human behavior. Now, there's a lot of people sending me this. I'd love to get someone from over there. If we get anyone in the Middle East who listens to the show, I'd love to get their counterpoint on this. I don't have the numbers with me, but compare the numbers to American deaths in Iraq during the war. For the Iraqi people, to kill an American soldier is much like slaying a dragon, which is true. I mean, these are guys running around with robes, haven't got a lot of weapons, you know, so for them to kill one soldier is a pretty big deal. When you use this analogy, everything comes into perspective, and this behavior doesn't seem that strange. They don't see American soldiers as people. They are undefeatable super soldiers. But that's just how I see it, and I may be wrong. And that's from Rip Drive. Well, you know, if you combine that with the previous statement, and you endorse that with religious hatred, it becomes rather apparent that, you know, this weird frenzy state where they're all dancing around thinking that they're going to get a better spot in heaven by torturing the soldiers and burning them alive. I guess that, you know, once again, turns back to who? Who's responsible for that? Really, at the end of the day, who's responsible for the enjoyment of the suffering and the death of, of soldiers? They're not really innocent, I suppose. I mean, it could be argued that they are innocent because they're just doing their job, blah, blah, blah. But bottom line, the people dancing around the bodies are because of the Mudhut religions. That's right. Another fantastic product brought to you by the people who brought you genocide. Yes, it's true. Now, let's get past all that and into the news. In Microsoft news, sent to me by Dead Code, this is absolutely insane. I can't believe Microsoft has done this. Various organizations have criticized Microsoft for attempting to patent the creation of custom emoticons. That's the little smiley faces for those of you who aren't really elite. The patent application, which was published by U.S. Patent Office on Thursday, covers selecting pixels to create an emoticon image, assigning a character sequence to these pixels, and reconstructing the emoticon after transmission. This is fucking insane. Mark Taylor, the executive director of the Open Source Consortium, said on Friday that this is such a basic concept that he would not have been surprised to see it posted as a fictional patent on a technology site. It would have been expected to see something like this by one of our more immature community members as a joke on Slashdot, or probably would have chuckled at the absurdity of the notion. We now appear to be living in a world where the most laughable paranoid fantasies about commercially controlling simple social concepts are being outdone in the real world by well-funded armies of lawyers on behalf of some of the most powerful companies on the planet, said Taylor. Now, this is very telling. If they're willing to do this with emoticons, bear in mind what they must be gearing up to do in other fields. He said the patent could be particularly problematic as it covers basic human communication. Aha! Emoticons are a form of language, and a precedent allowing a patent of language constructs is very dangerous indeed, said Taylor. Jonas Maib, a spokesman for the Foundation of Free Information Infrastructure, FFII, says that such a patent could be used by Microsoft to prevent competitors from developing applications that compete with its MSN Messenger application. But of course, they will kill you with the legalese. It is unfortunately quite clear that such patents have nothing to do with protecting investments nor R&D, and only with obtaining exclusion rights, which can help Microsoft maintain their dominant position on the market, says Maybe. Such patents are in contradiction of the original purpose of the patent system, according to Maybe's colleagues in the FFI, Philip Wurston. More and more, you're going to be seeing this. You're going to be seeing education and communication being patented. Everything's going to be licensed, and pretty soon education itself will be licensed. You'll be starting to get licensed under corporate schemes for education. You want to work for Halliburton? No problem. Make sure you go to Halliburton High School. Go to Halliburton University. Take Halliburton-assigned courses. Of course, it won't start off like that. They won't actually put up the fronting for certain courses. But maybe Halliburton will subsidize, start offering scholarships, and therefore they get the bright people into their company, blah, blah, blah. None of this is really new. We're just looking at new and modern applications put out by scary corporations to try to farm the young. And this is why I get concerned sometimes, because I see this, and there really is nothing that you or I can do about it other than to fight the good fight. Very, very scary. Very scary. And I'm hoping that, the open mind movement will continue and the consciousness commandos are going to be able to get through to some of these guys at the higher levels. Or maybe at some point they'll just realize when they're 45 that they're soulless fucks and maybe they should consider what it is they have done and what they have created. But let's stop it before it gets that far. What say? Now, in killer robot news, now this, of course, on its own is a cute little story, but it's sent to me by Slycat. Scientists in Lausanne, Switzerland, have successfully infiltrated a colony of roaches with a micro-robot that has enough intricacies to interact with the world's most resilient insect, according to a report published by the June issue of IEEE Robotics and Automation. Called InSpot, for insect-like robot, the mechanical bug mimics the insect's smell and movements to the point where the roaches have accepted the robot as one of their own. That feat helps scientists study mixed societies of animals and robots. This is nothing less. This, right out of the box, is a very low-level Gen 1 Terminator. That is exactly what this is from the original movies. If it's not a Terminator on a Gen 1 scale for insects, you tell me what it is. Gilles Kapari, one of the scientists who authored the report, wrote that its first step to understanding the complexities of social animals like cockroaches that operate from collective intelligence rather than being run by a leader. It may potentially lead to controlling such mixed societies. That's part of what scientists have been successful at showing with InSpot. In their latest experiment, the miniature robot drew the group of insects from a darkly lighted den to a more lit location, despite the roach's affinity for low lighting. The roaches followed the InSpot for the companionship. So this shows once again how, religious leaders can take a bunch of people, lock them in a basement, and again get them to kill themselves. Cockroaches have the same ability. The experiment is part of the European project called LEAR, which focuses on the study of intersection between biology and robotics. Very scary stuff. Scientists believe that they can use robots to mimic and respond to animals. They could eventually control the animal's behavior. Wow, that's fantastic. Where do you suppose that technology is going to leave? For example, they could use robots to stop sheep from jumping over cliffs or migrate cockroaches out of infested homes. Or they could use them to control massive crowds of people in sports stadiums, which I think is more, probably logical. They're not going to really be using this multi-million dollar technology to stop sheep from hucking themselves over cliffs. and they're sure as shit not going to use this just to kill a bunch of bugs, unless you consider the fact that maybe all of us could be considered bugs by the scientific community, a concept which I don't find that hard to believe, personally. That's just me, though. Now, in cat mutilation news from Nodaly, now this is absolutely psycho. You know, anybody who knows about cattle mutilations and has actually looked at it, so they're like, oh yeah, they're cutting up cows. Well, if you do some research on it and actually look at the photos and the numbers and the math, they can't explain how these cattle mutilations are happening. This isn't like, you know, crop circles here. This is a slightly different level of technology going on, and no one's really sure how to deal with it. So it's something that nobody likes to talk about. Nobody talks about cattle mutilations. Unless, of course, you listen to like Coast to Coast or any of those kind of guys. You know, generally, the cattle mutilations winds up in the tinfoil hat territory. Which is funny, because the cattle mutilation is a real thing. Like, there's really a dead cow there, and it really has been burned or cauterized or cut up with lasers and then laid back down with no blood on the ground, and no one's really sure how this is happening, because it's very hard to move a multi-hundred-pound animal without, you know, leaving some sort of residue or anything like that. Now, I don't know what's happening with the cattle mutilations. I don't know if it's UFOs. I don't know if it's black helicopters. Hell, I don't know if it's the chupacabra, but I do know we're getting some dead fucking cows all over North America, and no one's really sure why. Now, you add to this weird cat mutilation news. Now, we definitely got some dead cats here, and this has been sent in by Nodaly. In the third week of May, a couple years ago, back in May 2002, four domestic cats were found in the Fairhaven district of Bellingham in North Seattle, slit from throat to pelvis, but there was no blood on the fur or on the ground. Bellingham Police Lieutenant Dak Jamison said, "There is methodology to what is going on. The speculation was the cats were somehow removed from their home or neighborhood, taken somewhere for the cut and extension and excision of the internal organs, and then returned close to their homes," which would beg why. At the same time, in May 2002, a number of mutilated cats in Austin, Texas, had climbed to 25. Now, this is on the other side of the country. That's Austin, Texas, and Seattle. So what have we got, a serial cat murderer who travels across the country? The Austin Police Department took over the investigation, said that only cats were cut in meticulous and precise way. No blood other than unusual cat deaths also surfaced in San Diego, back across the country again. Then, in between June and November of 2002, according to Aurora Animal Control Office, the Denver Dumb Friends League and local residents, 10 cats and other small animals such as rabbits and squirrels were found strangely cut up without blood signs or signs of a struggle. 9 cats, 2 squirrels, 1 rabbit in Aurora, 1 cat and 1 rabbit in Denver. Very weird. The region affected was where Southwest Aurora and Southeastern Denver came together between the University of Denver and the Aurora Medical Center. One investigator who wished to remain anonymous told me, "Very precise cuts. Some are just cut in half like with a bandsaw or a very sharp knife or something like that. Just cut in half and either the front half or the back half is left to be found. Others have only the flesh removed from the abdominal area and a few organs removed. Or all organs removed. A few have just had their spine removed in a very precise way. Usually there is no blood, and there have been at least 2 other cycles of cat mutations here since 1990. Isn't that interesting? Now, why in the world, over, you know, a multi-year span, would we be having cats being cut up and having their spines cut out? Now, why would that occur? Now, a lot of people, like, they are finding these dead cats. So the question is, it's crazy kids. Well, you know, crazy kids generally, this is something that a lot of people forget when they're dealing with violence, is that a lot of kids think it's really cool to go do violence. They'll go out, they'll kill a dog or a cat or whatever. And then they realize that violence, they get that really bad, you know, evil feeling taste, kind of bile taste in their mouth. And they decide that even if they save face or go, oh, well, no big deal, they won't go out there and do it again because they know it's sick and weird. Now, we've got option B, where it's a psycho doing it. That's all fine. But why is this spread out all over the country? If it's just a bunch of dead cats in Seattle, then who gives a shit, right? Well, I mean, obviously, cat lovers give a shit. But it seems to me that these cats are being, well, mauled by someone or something somewhere for some reason that we cannot see. Especially to be, you know, to exsanguinate them, take all their blood out of their body, and then slowly cut out their spine. Very, very odd. Now, of course, a cat is a very occult symbol. So that cannot be denied, as are cows, by the way. I mean, in India, they're worshipped as sacred, so perhaps there's some kind of tie in there. I don't really know of any real reason why you'd be killing cats in this fashion. If anybody out there has any concept or perhaps any news on this, please email me, because I'd like to hear about it. You can get me at newsreel@rantradio.com. Are you ready for this one here? This one here should just make you absolutely insane. And wireless terrorist news sent in to me by Wolf Inspector. Now listen to this one. A UK man has been fined £500, which is like $1,000, and sentenced to 12 months conditional discharge for hijacking. He's hijacking a wireless broadband connection. I like the way they phrase this. What he didn't hijack it, he just used it. On Wednesday, a jury at Isleworth Court in London found Gregory Stranskiewicz, 24, guilty of dishonesty, obtaining electronic communication service, and possessing equipment for fraudulent use of a communication service. Straczynski was prosecuted under Section 125 and 126 of the Communications Act of 2003. Police sources said Stranskiewicz was caught standing outside a building in a residential area holding a wireless-enabled laptop. That's it. That's all he did. The Crown Prosecution Service confirmed that Straczynski was piggybacking on the wireless network that householders were using. He was reported to have attempted this several times before police arrested him. The case is believed to be the first of its kind in the UK. Last year, a 21-year-old Brian Scalito was sentenced to 9 years in a U.S. prison for siphoning credit card numbers over a wireless network from a hardware store on Lowe's. Now, that has absolutely nothing to do with the fine and time for hijacking. He wasn't hijacking. The guy was trying to get onto a line through any open connections. Was he doing any damage? Did he do anything wrong? Or was he just trying to get online access? I have done this. How many people out there have actually done what this guy did? They took their wireless, went downtown, turned it on, got a wireless thing, got their email, and went home. Well, apparently you, if you've done this, you're guilty of dishonestly obtaining an electronic communication service, and you're also guilty of possessing equipment for fraudulent use of a communication service. Oh, my God. You should go get a big rubber band, wrap it around your head, and snap yourself the fuck out of it, because holy crap, are you ever a vicious and savage criminal. Quickly, run to your bathroom, look at yourself in the mirror, and tear a strip off of yourself, because you are, in fact, an evil person. How totally insane do you have to be to believe that this is, in some level, on any level, a crime? What did he do? Now, the guy who ripped off the credit card numbers, he's not a hacker, he's a thief, because he's stealing credit card information, thanks so much, okay? But a guy who's just jumping online to check his email, I don't think that's really a crime, and it's something I have done and will continue to do if ever I get the chance. Thanks for coming out. Now, in egg news, now this is sent to me by Kuru, and this is an older article from, I believe this one's from the Mother Earth News, and it is. But this, just because it's a little bit older, I wanted to bring this up because we were talking about organic food and stuff like that. And generally, you know, the left-wing sort of press, a lot of the left-wing stories, they don't talk about animal byproducts as being beneficial. Now, me, personally, I still eat some animal byproducts because I'm an evil person and Buddha hates me. So I'm going to try very difficult to, you know, or try very hard, rather, to make sure that, you know, you can make some difficult choices regarding meat and all that good stuff. Now, I'm a big fan of organics, as a lot of people know. So check this out. We have just completed, now this is an older article, but anyway, they've just completed testing from four flocks raised on a pasture, eggs from four flocks raised on a pasture. The results have revealed that compared to supermarket eggs and hens raised in cages, our free-range eggs contained only about half as much cholesterol. So that means free-range eggs have half as much cholesterol, were up to twice as rich in vitamin E, and were 2 to 6 times richer in beta-carotene, a form of vitamin A, for essential omega-3 fatty acids, vital for optimal heart and brain function. The free-range eggs average from 4 times, the free-range eggs average 4 times more than factory eggs in omega-3 fatty acids. 4 times as much for free-range eggs. So, what does this mean? This means that it's a really good idea if you're going to be messing around with this kind of stuff and doing with organics, you should try to get as much free-range, as much organic eggs, chicken, meat, dairy, whatever you can. Make sure it's all organic. Make sure there's no chemicals, no drugs being crammed into your milk. And so that you can, you know, try to live a little bit longer and not sacrifice too many lifestyle choices on your own. But that was a great piece of story sent to me by Kuru, and thank you so much. Check that out. Read the whole report. It's very, very interesting. But long story short, make sure you eat the free-range eggs. Now, in climate change news, climate change news is something that is, everyone seems to be aware of this, in day-to-day life. Like, how many storms have we got now? Right now in Canada, right where I'm at in Vancouver, British Columbia, I'm here to tell you, it's really fucking hot, okay? It's not supposed to be this hot. It's one of the hottest summers on record. This is absolutely psycho. We got storms going crazy all over Florida. Everything's going nuts. The whole, you know, the storm season's getting way out of control. We're running out of letters in the alphabet. You know, it's a little bit weird when they're going to start calling me to digitally baptize hurricanes. You know, things are starting to get a bit weird. Now, in climate change news sent to me by Nix, it seems that, of course, the government doesn't want to admit that there's any kind of climate change going on. Because it goes against business, right? So the last thing they want to admit is that there's actually a climate change. So it seems that they have gone and taken steps to make sure that no scientists will come forward and say that there's any climate change. And that's what this is about. It's highly unusual, declared a spokesman for the House Energy and Commerce Committee when asked this week whether the request by committee chairman Joe Barton from Texas for information about three climate scientists was out of the ordinary. He and his boss are alone in that view. So everybody else thought that it was totally normal for this to take place. Many scientists and some of Mr. Barton's Republican colleagues say they were stunned by the manner in which the committee, whose chairman rejected the existence of climate change, rejected it. There is no climate change. Holy fucking Chicken Little. Like, how can you not see that there's climate change happening? I mean, the ice caps are melting much. Like, hello? Demanding, but apparently, the chairman who rejects the existence of climate change demanded personal and private information last month from researchers whose work supports a contradictory conclusion. Good God. The scientists, co-authors of an influential 1999 study showing a dramatic increase in global warming over the past millennium, were told to hand over not only raw data, but personal financial information, information on grants received and distributed, and computer codes, if you can believe that. Oh, you're publishing data we don't like? Well, we need to know everything to make sure you're not in league with the terrorists. Republican Sherrod Bohart, chairman of the House Science Committee, has called the investigated misguided and illegitimate. Raymond S. Bradley of the University of Massachusetts, one of the target, calls it intrusive, far-reaching, and intimidating. Alan I. Lesner, chief executive of the American Association for the Advancement of Science, said that although the scientists are used to answering really hard questions, in his 22 years as a government scientist, he has never heard of a similar inquiry where suspects could have a chilling effect on the willingness of people to work in areas that are politically relevant. Well, I guess that sends a pretty clear message, eh? If you don't toe the party line, I guess that means you're going to be put under a microscope, and anything that, you know, goes wrong in your own personal life, well, we're going to drag that out right in front of the American people for you to be discredited, and we'll find all kinds of ways to show you up as being a bad guy, and therefore proving, without a shadow of the doubt, that there's no such thing as climate change, even though all the ice in the Arctic's melting and the water levels are rising and we have more storms than any other time in history. No, no, no! There's no problems. Everything's fine. It's business as usual. Will you give me a fucking break? It seems kind of terrifying to me that everyone's so concerned about terrorism and trying to keep everyone occupied with terrorism, 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 where we don't realize that the planet is fucking dying because we're letting corporaticals kill it. It makes me nuts, let me tell you. Now, in Shadowrun news, and this is from Ion, and rather strange. Now, a lot of people have heard of Alex Jones. And Alex Jones is a really right-wing guy hanging out down there in Texas, okay? Good guy. Good guy. I like Alex. I do. He got Noam Chomsky on there, kind of made an ass out of himself in front of Noam Chomsky, but that's okay because, you know, Noam Chomsky, of course, is left-wing, and Alex Jones is right-wing. And if you go do a search for the BitTorrent files, you'll find that Alex Jones has to, like, after he did the article, after he did the interview, really, he has to be against Noam Chomsky. Why? Because he has the right-wing press. He has all the really right-wing psycho guys out rooting for him. So if he was to suddenly make peace with Noam Chomsky, that would hurt him in the eyes of his fans. So realistically, even if Alex Jones on a personal level really liked Noam Chomsky, he couldn't say anything because he would lose his fan base. Now, this is something that I don't have a problem with because, well, I don't really have too much concern about where I am on the left or the right. I'm just reporting on whatever comes down the pipe. Now, the one thing that is weird, though, is that Alex Jones is generally considered to be a paranoid kook. Okay, he's kind of in the kook science realm. Of course, He doesn't say anything that's wrong. I mean, everything is, you know, completely legit. He reports on accurate stories. I check his site. The Road to Tyranny is an amazing DVD. I recommend everyone buy it. You'll probably learn more from Alex Jones in 20 minutes than you will from, like, 12 hours of newsreel, because the guy is very switched on. Now, that said, he is considered to be a bit of a coot because, you know, he'll get really excited and then start talking about the beast, and he's got really rabid Christian viewpoints and all the rest of it. So, you know, he's not perfect. He's not my God, but I deeply respect Alex Jones, and I think he's a good guy. Now, it seems... Now, that said, Prison Planet and InfoWars, I would say, are very hacker-friendly, meaning or subversive-friendly, depending, or terrorist-friendly, depending on what part of the government you work for, meaning that those of us out there that are trying to discover the truth would view Alex Jones as an, he'd be an asset, wouldn't he? I mean, because he's exposing stuff. You know, my enemy's enemy is therefore my friend. I may not agree with everything Alex Jones has to say because he's a hardcore mudhutter, but, you know, that's okay because he is against the same enemy that I am, so I can put all of our differences aside. I'm sure Alex would be able to put his differences aside, and the two of us could, you know, kind of work together to expose the great lie that is, you know, currently what's going on in government right now in the United States. Now, it seems to me, though, that I don't know of any reason why anyone would attack his websites, Prison Planet and InfoWars, because, again, that would be like trying to attack atlavista.box.sk. Like, why would you do that? That doesn't make sense. Well, it seems that from his website near now, I'm going to read this out. This is in Shadowrun News, and it was sent to me by Ion. PrisonPlanet.com and InfoWars a couple days ago were subject to a massive DDoS attack on its flagship server. The tech guy there, Dwayne Coutts, who oversees the website, said it was the biggest attack he had seen in many years of experience and has all the hallmarks of, get this, a government attack. Now, this could be paranoid, but we don't know. These guys have suits, not pimples, said Coutts. Well, you're speculating. The websites do occasionally come under attack from amateurs, which, you know, would seem to be obvious, but we don't feel the need to give them the attention by talking about it. However, this attack is off the scale and is obviously a well-coordinated effort to prevent millions more people from learning the truth about the London bombings. You gotta admit, it's kind of well-timed. The team are currently trying to locate a team for working for InfoWars, and I'm sure there's some really rabid psycho fucking Texans working on this one, are currently trying to locate the source of the attack while the website is up and down. There is no coincidence that this attack came as traffic to PrisonPlanet.com and InfoWars is at an all-time high in the wake of the London bombings. Isn't that interesting? The website has been a world leader in alternative media coverage of the 7/7 bombings and the failed bombings a few days afterwards. Now, that's true. I mean, InfoWars and Alex, I mean, Alex has been chasing this shit hardcore. So it seems to me that it's not totally unreasonable and completely paranoid that someone in some sort of governmental position would want to shut this fucking loudmouth up. Especially since that soundbite at the beginning of this whole program, you want to download that whole thing from Guns and Butter. Holy crap, is that ever a scary, scary interview? Make sure you got your thinking cap on, because you better be able to keep up. That's designed for IT people. I like Dual Parallel. If you download this show, buddy, Dual, make sure you check out that Guns and Butter interview, and I'd like to get your take on that, because, for obvious reasons. Previously, the PrisonPlanet.com reported that UK ISPs like Tiscali were blocking, if you can get this, the UK ISPs were Tiscali were blocking their subscribers from accessing Prison Planet and InfoWars. Now, why would a UK ISP block Prison Planet and InfoWars if they're such a kooky news site, right? Everyone goes, oh, Alex Jones, he's crazy. He's a crazy person. You know, who's going to listen to him? Well, apparently, I guess a lot of the UK people don't want to hear what Alex has got to say for some crazy reason. So maybe Alex isn't as crazy as everybody seems to think he is. It is obvious that in the high places are showing their disapproval, and it only vindicates all the information that Prison Planet and InfoWars has been putting out. I would like to recommend at this time that anyone listening to this program or who is a fan of Newsreel, please make sure you try to help out Alex. Because even though you may not agree with him, even if, you know, you're the total rainbow-wearing vegan, okay, I really think that we need to get people like Alex on board with us, the same way we have to get guys like Noam Chomsky on board with us. Granted, they won't sit beside each other in the car, but we've all got to be on the same bus as we're going to war on this one here. We've got to get everybody on side. We cannot be doing any infighting amongst our weird little political candidates. It's too far. The hour is too late for us to do that. We have to have unity. So please, the way you stop unity is stop fighting back in the forums. Stop fighting back in the IRC. If somebody says something stupid to me or to someone else or to you or whatever, do not attack them. Okay? Let it go. It's not a big deal. Worse than hatred is indifference. And instead, post something that's constructive, that moves forwards, okay? Try to help everybody win. If we can get unity going on the counterculture front, if we can get unity forming, honestly forming, in the really fringe areas of alternative media, think of the power that we could have. Just consider it for a moment. How much power we could have if we got everybody together and focused in the same direction. Even though we may not be marching to the same drummer, we can all march in the same direction. Now, on to some Judge Dredd news. Now, this was from Drill Sergeant. Prime Minister John Howard stood by his description of British police response as calm and not jittery, despite the shooting dead an innocent Brazilian man. Now, this whole story is just 17 kinds of fucked up. Mr. Howard said he believed the government needed to stand behind police and security services at times like this, which is probably true. He does. Obviously, it's not for me to comment on the detail of the British police action. My remarks included the British police, but were more generally directed at the resolute and calm in which the public responded, he told ABC Radio. Clearly, there are issues in relation, but they will be dealt with in accordance with the process. Interesting phraseology there. I have to express the view that at a time like this, government leaders should stand behind their police and their security forces, and that applies whether you're the Prime Minister of Australia or the Prime Minister of Britain. Interesting, considering Australia was a prison colony at one time. Mr. Howard said he would not be drawn into debate on details of the incidents in which plainclothes British policemen shot dead a man believing him to be a suicide bomber. He turned out to be a Brazilian electrician. It's not appropriate for me to do so, and you will understand that, he said. Mr. Howard said there had been thousands of innocent people murdered by terrorists. Surely, that is the dominant consideration, he said. It's tragic what happened. British police have said that. Let the British deal with the issue. Asked by any Australian agencies what was described as a shoot-to-kill policy, Mr. Howard replied, "We have appropriate policies." Mr. Howard said it could be argued that there was a failure of intelligence every... Mr. Argue said it could be argued that there was a failure of intelligence every time there was a terrorist attack. That underlines the huge challenge we face. It's not a question of something having gone wrong. It's the equivalent of saying that our criminal investigation system fails every time there's a robbery or every time there's a murder. You can't look at it that way. It is an unreasonable standard to impose on our intelligence services. Mr. Howard said British intelligence and police have been warning that an attack was likely or inevitable, although there was no specific warning of this attack. Now, isn't that creative? So apparently we've got granted an illegal alien inside your country. This is this Brazilian electrician guy, right? His visa expired apparently 3 years ago. Whether or not that's true, we don't know. He ran from the cops because he's an illegal immigrant. He ran from the cops wearing a backpack because he's an illegal immigrant. He can't drive. I guess he can't get a license because he's an illegal immigrant. So this illegal immigrant, if this is true, the illegal immigrant who's from Brazil, the illegal Brazilian immigrant grabs his backpack and fucks off towards the train station where the bombs have gone off while carrying a backpack, at which point the police blow him away. Now, I gotta side with the cops here. You got a guy who's not supposed to be in the country. You don't know what he's doing. He's being watched. Your country's getting bombed. You're not too sure where it's coming from, assuming, of course, the whole thing isn't one massive, you know, British intelligence, CIA, you know, work together thing. But I'm just thinking the cop on the street, regardless, you've got to agree that the cop on the street does not know of any cover-up, even if there is one, because he's not privy to that kind of information. So the cops on the ground know that there's terrorists with backpacks full of bombs running around train stations. They see a guy they're told is a terrorist suspect running towards a station with a backpack. Like I said the other day, I would have shot him myself. Absolutely, I'd have geeked him. You betcha. Sorry about your luck, Mr. Brazilian electrician guy, but you chose some really, really... Like, if he wasn't running towards a train station, I bet you he probably wouldn't have got shot. If he wasn't wearing a backpack, I bet he wouldn't have got shot. Why was he wearing a heavy winter coat? Why would you try to run from the cops wearing a heavy... Why would you try to run wearing a heavy winter coat? Was it for disguise? Is that what he was doing? Any way you cut it, he was a wanted... He's an illegal alien. He's not supposed to be there. And unfortunately, it was a case of wrong place, wrong time. If this is true, because I'm not entirely sure this Brazilian electrician story really checks out. I'd like to see if there's any family that this guy has or what's going on so we could try to get a counterpoint here, because this whole thing, this whole story is so incredibly fucking bizarre. I'm not too sure how to deal with it. So let's move on to some pirate radio news. Now, this was sent to me by Mookie, because, you know, pirate radio is where, well, radio got its start, and it's what we try to, you know, go on with here on the internet. Federal agents armed with a search warrant to shut down Free Radio 96.9 FM, the self-proclaimed oldest-running and most notorious unlicensed radio broadcaster in San Diego, in a mid-morning raid yesterday. About a dozen armed agents, some wearing shirts with the initials FCC or Federal Communications Commission, served the warrants in South Park about 10 a.m. They seized amplifiers, computers, a transmitter, and other equipment that effectively knocked the station off the air, witnesses said. Agents also climbed onto the roof of the house next to a wooden shack that served as a studio for the station, removing a 43-foot-tall antenna and sections and putting it in a van. Dane Reardon, 22, was one of several supporters of the station who watched the raid. "This is a fight over free speech," said Reardon, who vowed that the staff and loyal listeners will hold fundraisers and buy new equipment to get the station back on the air at an undisclosed location. The U.S. Attorney's Office declined comment yesterday. No one from the FCC returned phone calls seeking comment. Because, you know, after all, why would the draconian FCC talk to the lowly reporter? Free Radio, which has illegally broadcast for 3 years out of the private residence on Bancroft Street, could also be heard on a legal internet simulcast. Could also be heard on a legal internet simulcast at www.pirate969.org. So, you know, we should definitely watch that for future updates and send some hopes and prayers along to the good people at Pirate 969. Hope you guys get out of that okay, and let's just hope that me being in British Columbia here, that I am not next. In registered traveler news sent in by Nix, the nation's first privately sponsored registered traveler program sanctioned by the Homeland Security Department began operating this week at Orlando International Airport in Florida. That's right. We've now taken travel and made it a private affair where unless you're one of the money bags, you're not getting on the plane. Since June 21, when the program began accepting enrollments, about 4,000 people have paid an annual fee of $79.95 each to sign up and submit to background checks. So we pay you to check my background. What the hell? Once cleared, they receive a special biometric smart cards to benefit from speedier clearance procedures through the airport. The smart cards contain chips with biometric information that allows the registered travelers to proceed through checkpoints more quickly. Well, I hope these smart cards are really, really tough, because otherwise we'll just take the smart cards, hack those, and then everybody's a registered traveler, right? Lockheed Martin Corp., a New York-based Verified Identity Pass Incorporated, are operating the program in partnership with the Homeland Security Department and Greater Orlando Aviation Authority. The program requires registered travelers to submit 10 fingerprints, a standard that was selected because it's compatible with the FBI's Integrated Automated Fingerprint Identification System, a large criminal database of 45 million prints. So that means that when you fly and you register with this card, you're put in the same criminal database as rapists and child molesters. This is what Jim Carlson, manager of the business development for biometrics with Lockheed Martin, said. Background checks on enrollees are performed by DHS, Transportation Security Administration, and checked against FBI and other databases. Other databases. Is that the terrorist watch list? Is that the, you know, people who download, are you checking that against the MPAA or the RIAA? Is that what you're checking against? What are these databases that you're going to say whether or not I get to leave a country or travel or fly, or are we just going to, you know, just keep the rats in the cages regardless, no matter what anybody says? A lot of people, as demonstrated by our enrollment, would gladly give up their information to regain some of the simplicity of using air travel. Yes, yes, 4,000 people are a lot of people. Yes, 4,000 is a lot of people. Definitely, I would say that. I would say that's a lot of people. It's not a majority. It's definitely not a majority. And I'd say a lot of these guys are probably business travelers who do it, you know, every day, and they don't really, they're so far inside the core political program that they don't have anything to worry about, because if they even listen to music the wrong way, they'll lose their fucking job, but that's okay. That's all right. We'll just, we'll go with that. We'll say a lot of people do this. Sure, sure. Okay, we'll say, $4,000. The program will enable us to move more passengers through the airport in a timely manner while maintaining the highest standards of safety and security. I bet you if you got me one of these cards, I could have that thing reverse engineered, hacked, and recracked, and I'll be on my way lickety split. C.W. Jennings, executive director for the Aviation Authority, said in a news release, the program will enable us to move more passengers through an airline in a timely manner while maintaining the highest standards of safety and security. I call bullshit on you there, Jennings. About 31 million passengers use Orlando's airport every year. So 4,000 of 31 million isn't sweet fuck all, okay? So you got to bear in mind that you're going to increase the 45 million database of the FBI by at least 31 million because everyone's going to want to go and get through the airports faster because everyone knows that airports suck ass. Now, in Bionics news, and this is a little bit more positive, sent in by Bonsai Poppy, in the 70s, the idea seemed so far-fetched it became a TV series. But the field of bionics and integration of biology and technology is gaining strength. News Center 5's Rhonda Mann reported Friday that a new prosthetic knee developed using MIT research, those good guys at MIT, but is among those leading the way. It was a hot summer day when John Warren, a scuba diving instructor, was filling an air tank when it exploded. Boom! Shit, I hate it when that happens. I was standing within 2 feet of the tank and caught the majority of the fragments. His right leg was severed above the knee. Bang, that's gotta suck. His left leg was seriously fucked up. After being fitted with many prosthetics in February, Warren was one of the first to try a Rheo knee, R-H-E-O, knee, like K-N-E-E. Within those 60 steps, this patient had to vary their speed a little bit, and the knee starts learning how they move, how they walk, and at that point figures out how to adjust itself with the person. So it's like a fuzzy logic bionic knee. Very cool. What makes the Rheo knee different is it is the first to use artificial intelligence, tiny sensors that analyze the knee 1,000 times per second, allowing it to adjust to any step or misstep. The advance comes as a growing need in part of a skyrocketing diabetes rates, and which can cause lip complications and advances in medicine. And let's not forget that a whole bunch of people coming back from Iraq are going to be needing bionics because they're getting blown up in a desert war. And in anti-aging news, sent to me by Dead Code, this is exciting. And this is something we should all follow because we don't want the super rich being the only ones getting this. Researchers have identified 23 new longevity genes by screening the genome of, here's a big name, Canor habitatis elegans, a small worm that is used as a model organism in genetic studies. The findings are reported in the inaugural issue of PLOS Genetics. Genetics is somehow a very interesting field to me. I think that I would be a fantastic genetic scientist, don't you? I mean, if you just listen to all my rants, that's definitely going to be something that's going to make certain people shit their pants. Now, your daily hack today, just, keeping with the sign of the times, we've got some nuke prep information and some electromagnetic pulse prep information, both from NoDelete, that'll guarantee keep you busy at the hardware store for the next 6 months. And while you're, trying to surf the web from your post-apocalyptic bomb shelter, make sure you check out FireTune, sent in by Drew Dwyer-Simaru. FireTune for Mozilla Firefox was developed as an easy and fast optimization for your browsing experience with Firefox. Very cool. I've downloaded this, applied it, and I think it's pretty slick. Check it out. Very, very neat. Does not modify the Firefox executable, but instead it just keeps you so that you can keep, keeps your connection speed as good as it can possibly be. And that's all I got for you today, but don't worry, I will be back tomorrow to make sure you get all the information you need to stay alive. This is a free radio broadcast brought to you by the generous donations of those willing to fight in a time of crisis, and they are Forleap, WebLife, Alan, Drew Dwyer, Simaru, Drake, Jesse, Robert, The Grey Ghost, Art, Michael, Enduser, Christopher, Noog, Kevin, Joseph, Jesse, Derek, Desert Runner, Eric, Michael, Dennis, C4, Steve, Jesse, Brandon, Matthew, Peter, Malcolm, Timor, Rosalie, Keith, Jason, Evan, Matt, Austin, David, Palmer, Jonathan, Adam, Richard, Host Mojo, Peter, Charles, Jason, Jonathan, Brandon, Jason, Mainframe, Burger No Fries, Innominate, Matt, Jennifer, Hi, Jennifer. Matthew, Charles, Lars Eric, Dark Nature, and Brandon and Michael. Thank you so much, everyone. And the new subscribers for the month of June of 2005. Alex, Jerry, Cameron, and Brenly. And if you would like to help keep this daily news broadcast on the air, please visit rantmedia.ca and click on the donate tab because every little bit helps. And thanks again to everyone and their assistance in gathering data. If you have access to sensitive information or any of their pertinent stories, please email them to newsreel. That's newsreel at rantradio.com. If you like the music in the background, be sure to pick up the album by Hawjob called Penetration. I'm going to leave you now with some fun-loving criminals, the great tune Scooby Snacks. So until tomorrow, that's what Server said. End of line.
Rob the bank, you got Steve outside, count a full pack, and everything's cool and everything's smooth.
Hey, that's smooth.
I walk into the teller, I give her the letter, she gives me the loot, the bucket up lips and a wink that I found cute. And I said, baby, 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 is there some karmic G love thing happening here, baby, or what? But I got a time, fast at me with the night, said it's time to blow, you know. So out the door we go, back to the ride, Steve inside and alive, and off the drive. I hurt my lower lumbar. You know we never get far riding around in a stolen police car. So we dropped it off and piled in the caddy. Steve was driving, cause I had to talk to my man.
Well, so I don't know anything about any fucking setup. You can torture me all you want.
Torture you, that's a good idea. I like that one.
Running around, robbing banks, all whacked up with Scooby Snacks.
Standing up straight, so we pull these jobs, make a little money. No one gets hurt if they don't act funny. On the way to the yacht, we almost got caught. Fast shooting mailbox, going where the cops is, yeah. They had to duck the donuts adjacent from the phone, whose mailbox fast had just exploded. They gave chase from our man Steve's and Ace, and we lost those brothers with haste. We cast it off, and along we went off Bermuda to an island resort. We rented.
Son of a gun, need you cool. Are you cool?